Who here has a testimony that they want to share? Go Ralston.
Okay, if you haven't heard, Ralston had a school shooting today, but it was a false alarm. Let me get there, Hope. So the cops said it was a false alarm, and during the lockdown, it took an hour and 30 minutes maybe. And during the lockdown, I was just praying because that was my first instinct. And I just felt calm during it, but I was still kind of scared because, it's a big deal. But yeah, I just felt like God was over the situation and nobody got hurt, and so it was okay.
That's awesome. I love how she said her first instinct was to go to God. That's really cool. That's really cool. Eli?
All right, so I think it was last Sunday. Our team was our team is probably the worst when I'm not on defense. That's kind of how it is. We've lost every game except one that I was on defense. But the coach from Midland University, the hockey coach, he was at that game, and so my coach decided to put me on defense. In that game, I had 4 assists and a lot of big hits. And the coach said that if Division 1 team doesn't pick me up by the time I'm college ready, he'd pick me up. So that kind of just gave me reassurance for college.
That's awesome. All right, we've got one all the way in the sound booth. Sally, you can come on around. Give her a big round of applause. Guys, Sally has so many testimonies, and I love it. I love it.
Oh, I heard that, Pastor Drew. Okay. So, recently I've been doing all right in school, and it's just math is my grades are good, then there's math. So, I'm it's been hard for me to trust God in that because I don't know, it just really has. But every time I'm crying about math, I'm just I have my mind focused on God. And so he reassured me, and during our final, we took it early. He gave me reassurance, so yeah, that's good.
Awesome. All right, one more. David.
I don't see enough leaders up here. Come on. Just saying. Hey, but I'm talking to myself too. But so on Monday, I work a morning shift. I work the 6 a.m. shift at work. And I'm really grumpy in the mornings. So this is people that, my coworkers I see every morning. But, I don't really talk to them that much. Because it's the morning, God forgives me, right? But this particular morning, and it was a Monday morning, just wanted to tell you. But this particular morning, 2 days ago, there was a coworker who, I work with every Monday. She comes in, and I could tell, right away that something was wrong. And so I was just like, what's up? And then she just started, pouring, everything that had happened the night before. I don't really want to go into detail, but basically she's kind of suicidal and went through a lot of things, was in the hospital and just this crazy thing. But then she was able to leave because she had to work. So she literally came to work just right after leaving the hospital. And so she was kind of dealing with a lot. And I was like, dang, why this time, this day, why God? Cause I was super tired, but I was whatever. So, I lifeguard, right? So I go back, I'm on the chair and I'm wrestling with God. I'm okay, what do I say? What should I do? How should I pray for her? Whatever. And just, all those questions. And I'm up there for 30 minutes. So I'm going, the 30 minutes felt 2 hours. But, anyways, I came back down and I was just hey, can I pray for you? It was totally just not a big deal at all. So I just prayed for her. And then she's I really need to go back to church. So I invited her to church. And she said she's probably going to come on Sunday, but I'm going to send her a reminder text because you should pursue, not just say one time. So hopefully she'll be here on Sunday. But yeah, God can use you wherever you are, even Monday morning. So just telling you.
That's awesome. All right, guys. And I just want to share. We got one more. Okay, we can do one more. We got time.
This testimony is for my family. My wife last week, She went into the doctors. When you get a certain age, ladies have to go get mammograms. And we heard four words you don't want to hear. We found a mass. So a couple days later, biopsied, see what's going on. And last Wednesday, I was not there to witness this myself. She was upstairs at the prayer meeting, and Pastor Walt, I see someone here had a scan, x-ray, something. God knows it. He's touched it. He's healed it. It's done. Yesterday, we're good to go. Nothing. Nothing. She's good to go.
Amen. Amen. Hey, can I be honest? I'm the type of person, I actually like problems. Like, I like problems. I like to overcome problems. And I like having the right problems in life. Like, right now, we've had problems in Emanate where it's like, man, when we say testimonies, there's this awkward dead silence and no one ever says anything. And right now, we got a problem where it's like, dear Lord, we got way too many testimonies, not enough time. I love it. Come on. Is that not a good problem? So I want to commend you guys. My son's pizza is sitting in the front chair. So, anybody want some cold pizza? There you go. All right. There's one pizza. Here you go. Yeah, one of the pizzas he didn't even chew on, so it's like totally clean. You're good. Take some pizza. There you go. That's what's up. So we have, oh, man, just a lot of good stuff. I believe God's doing awesome things here. Don't you guys? I've seen God moving. I've heard testimonies of things happening, and Encounter, Equip, and Engage is beginning to be lived out more and more and more. And I want to commend you guys. I want to thank you guys. I love it. I love it. Please don't hold your testimonies in. When something happens, share it. And a lot of times, I don't know about you guys, when something cool happens, like with me, I'm like, I don't really want to, because like, it's not about me. I don't do it so that I can share it with people. I do it for the person. I do it for God. But I want to challenge you guys to share it, to encourage the people around you, to remind yourself of where you, what you did, and to do those things again. Like, man, we aren't here to live for ourselves. We're here to live for others, right? Come on. So, I don't know about you guys. I feel like that was a better point than what I received from you guys. We aren't here to live for ourselves. We're here to live for others. Am I right? Come on. Come on. There you go. That's, man, I love it. I believe, I'm not going to get into that right now. Whew. Okay, so this is our last week of Back to the Basics. So a lot of cool things, but there's a ton of stuff that I felt like we should cover during the series. And so we're going to cover a lot today. So if you guys got your notebooks out, just take notes, grab some pens. If you don't have a notebook, bring $2 with you. And either next week or the following, we're going to have brand new notebooks coming in. So our old ones, we sold out. That's a good problem. Once again, good problems. I love them. So we're going to be talking about, there's a lot of Christian words that we use, we hear, and I don't know about you guys, if you're anything like me, in church, I grew up in church, and people would be like, like atonement, redemption, and I'm like, yeah, amen, yeah, you know what that is, yeah, it's like the atoning meant stuff, like, yeah, of course I know, it's hard to describe, but yeah, I know, my dad's a preacher, like, of course, I don't know, and I, like, have no clue, and I'm trying to dance my way around it, but, so if you guys are anything like me, I've been in that boat, and so we got some of those things, but really, the key word that all of these things are going to revolve around is the word salvation. salvation is. And that's our first word that we're going to be talking about. And who knows what like the root of salvation is, the root word of salvation. What is it? Saved. Yes. Saved by grace. Jeez, it sounds like, man, you must read your Bible or something, because that's like, that's in there. That is, by the way, that passage that she just like quoted part of it, that's going to be in our reading plan in the verses that we're reading for this next week. So go ahead and read it. It's a really, really good passage. So it means, it comes from a couple Greek words, sozo or soteria. We're going to be talking about sozo because you guys ever heard of the coffee house Sozo downtown? Come on. There you go. So every time you see that, no. Salvation. It means to save is what sozo means. So it means to save, keep alive, or to rescue. Really, it's this idea of freedom. It's this idea of salvation throughout all the Bible has been about moving freedom from slavery to freedom. So salvation, if you walk up to someone in the Old Testament way back in the day, you'd be like, hey, Jesus said God. They'd be like, Jesus, what? Old Testament, so this is before Jesus. But you go and like, God saves, tell me about it. And they'd be like, yes, he does, because we're in slavery in Egypt, and God brought Moses, and then you had the 10 plagues, and we come out in the Red Sea, and yes, God saves. And that's what salvation meant to Israel for God's nation for the longest time. And so here's a quick note. We are now the nation of Israel. We are called spiritual Israel as opposed to ethnic Israel. You guys know there's an actual nation called Israel that's different. We are spiritual Israel. The Bible talks about now when you become, when you follow Jesus, you join this family, you are now a part of his nation, God's chosen people. There you go. So that's why we have that. But it's often tied to Egypt. And you hear this all the time in Psalms. You hear it all the time in the Old Testament where they say, you have delivered me from the hand of my enemies. You guys ever heard that, read that somewhere in the Bible? That's what it's talking about. Usually it's talking about this root of being freed from slavery. By the way, if you want to understand the New Testament, you got to read the Old Testament. So I encourage people, if you're reading the Bible for the first time, read through the New and then go back and start at the Old and read through the Bible all the way through. But so this is, man, there's just so much in here. So what I want to do is I want to have a, we got some like poster boards that we're going to be doing to help us understand what salvation means right now, what it means to us and where we're at. And so really where it starts is, can we have the number one, poster board number one come on up? There you go. Give Jasmine a hand. We're going to be applauding a lot today. So this is really, we're defining our need and we're defining what salvation is. So this is, why did Jesus have to die? Why do we need salvation? What is the importance of all of this stuff? This is what we're going to be talking about today. So everybody read this with me. God equals perfect life. So this is two words, perfect life. God is perfect, and God, according to John 1:4, he is life. He is perfect and he is life. So what does this mean? God is perfect. Sin is the opposite of perfection. Sin is opposing God. It's failing to make the mark. It's missing the mark is really what the word sin means. And God is life. So sin is the opposite of perfection, right? If God is perfect and we sin, what does sin do? Separates us from God. Sin, oh, someone's cheating. They're getting to the next step. Yes. So you sin, it separates you from God because God is perfect, but God is also life. So when you are separated from life, you are therefore in death. Yes. So that's why the Bible says the wages of sin is death, because when you sin, you are away from. So card number two. Where's card number two? There you go. So sin separates you from God. Card number three, where are we at? There you go. Look at this. So sin equals death. Do you guys, does this all make sense? So God is perfect life. And when we sin, so I want to tell you guys real quick, there's a problem and there is an enemy of God. And a lot of times we make ourselves out to be that enemy because we are the ones who sin. When we are not the enemy, man is not the enemy. Mankind is not the enemy. Sin is the enemy. Sin separates us from God. Sin is the enemy. Oftentimes, you'll hear in Scripture talking about enemies and things like that. And a lot of times you can use that. It's a prophetic declaration over actual, it's talking about sin, not just about the enemies that were there at the time. So God equals perfect life. Sin separates. Sin equals death. Because of all that, sin equals death. And then this is where we're going to be getting into our first word. Can we get card number four up real quick? Our first word, or I guess our next word, is redemption. Redemption. And what that means is to pay your debt. So go ahead and jot that down. Redemption. And so what we have is this process of seeing where at someone has to pay for this. You need redemption. And so this is where Old Testament sacrifices would come in. Now, the Bible actually says that the sacrifice, they would go, they'd be like, all right, God's perfect. Sin separates us from God, but we really want to have the presence of God stay around us. But we keep sin separates. And it also another symbolism that they'll use is it dirties the presence of God. It dirties us. And so we need something to cleanse us, because it, come on, man. You had one job. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You're good. Someone get this man some gloves. No, sin equals death. So what they would do is they would say, I'm going to put this on something else so I don't have to take it. And so they would take animals, they would take sacrifices, and they would offer that as the sacrifice and say, this thing is going to experience the death, the sin, pay by blood for my sin. But even in the Old Testament, New Testament, they're all like, I mean, it's like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. Like, it's just not going to quite do it, you know? So... They have this problem, and so you have this need for redemption. I need someone to pay for my debt that I have. And this is where, let's do card number five. Let's do card number five real quick. And this is where Jesus comes in, okay? So we are in need of someone to pay for our sin. Is all of this making sense? All this is making sense. And so some of us have heard this message before, but it's really hard to communicate. So that's going to be one of the things that we're going to be focused on. If you know this already, be listening to how will I communicate that? Because everyone's going to be doing that before the end of the night tonight. So we have a need for someone to pay your debt, but how in the world can we have something to pay the debt for all the incredible amount of sin that there is in the world? If each sin creates separation from God, that means I can then fully die for one of your sins. That doesn't quite cut it. Then we're all still screwed, right? And so this is where Jesus comes in. So, and really, by means of grace and mercy. This is by means of grace and mercy. These are two words that we use all the time. Here are the definitions for grace. Grace is undeserved favor. It's a gift. It's something that you don't deserve, something that you receive. And mercy is withholding punishment. It's withholding punishment. So, do you see the difference there? Grace is giving you something that you don't deserve. That's a favor or a blessing. And mercy is not giving you something that you do deserve. I think we got a slide for that so you guys can jot that down. Grace is giving you something you don't deserve. Mercy is not giving you something that you do deserve. So what happens is we have this need, and so God goes, there's only one way to fulfill this, and this is by sending Jesus. We need a perfect sacrifice, but not just a perfect sacrifice. We need a divine sacrifice. We need something that is holy, that is perfect, that is set apart, that is God himself, because only God can be the one that can live up to the perfection that it demands to be in the presence of himself. Like, it's crazy. So that is where Jesus comes in to pay our way and in a sacrifice. And so one of the main reasons that Jesus came down, he came down to initiate a new covenant. He came down to initiate a new promise. He came down to show us a new way to live. And he also came down to set this new covenant into motion. Covenant is a promise. It's an agreement to set this thing into motion. And so Jesus pays for our sins, so we are no longer slaves to sin. We are now freed. Catch that. Salvation. See that? No longer slaves, but freed. He dies for our sin. Now, what happens here is when Jesus dies, there's a day in the Old Testament that was called the Day of Atonement. In atonement, let me pull this up real quick. Here we go. Atonement is to bring into a unified relationship with God. And the Day of Atonement was this day where they would go and they'd cleanse the temple. And how do you cleanse temple from sin? What's the way to pay for sin? Death. So they would use blood, symbolizes death, to cleanse the temple from sin. So they would sacrifice an animal. And then on the Day of Atonement, one day a year, the high priest would walk into the Holy of Holies, the place where God's presence sat. And they would walk in and he'd cleanse the temple from our sins, from the nation's sin, and then he'd cleanse the holy place, and everything would get this cleansing treatment kind of thing that would allow for God's presence to stay with his nation. But they had two things that they would do. The blood that they would use to cleanse the Holy of Holies was the blood of a perfect lamb. Jesus is often described as a perfect lamb, spotless. So we're looking for perfection. Catch that? That's why Jesus, you had to have a perfect sacrifice for this. And so, and what they would do, they'd sacrifice the lamb and they use the blood of the lamb to cleanse the temple. Now, here's a cool correlation here. We don't have a temple that we worship at anymore, right? Where's the temple? There's two locations for the temple. The presence of God lives in us and in heaven. There's a cleansing in both. Isn't that crazy? The cleansing of the blood is meant to cleanse in us and in heaven so that we may go there as well. It's crazy. Mind blowing. Then the second thing is that they would do is they would take a goat. Ever heard of the term scapegoat? You're the scapegoat. You're so like, I did something wrong, but I'm gonna say Madison did it, and she's my scapegoat. Man, all right, she did it. She's gonna take my punishment for me. This is awesome. So what they do is they would proclaim the sins of the nation over this goat, and then they'd send it out into the wilderness for it to be separated. This is that same picture where not only is your sin cleansed, then it is separated from God. The scripture talks about how your sin is as far is to God as far as the east is from the west. It's untouchable. You can't ever get to the east. You can't ever get to the west. It's absolutely unreachable. It says he doesn't even acknowledge it anymore. It's forgotten. It's put on the scapegoat and it's gone. It's left. Do you see how that symbolism happens? Isn't this cool? This is how Old Testament stuff helps you understand New Testament. Man, it gets me jazzed. So last card, come on up. This is, where are we at? All right. So, but the only way to get here. So you need salvation. Salvation is freedom. Freedom from our problems. What are we looking for freedom from? sin. Yes, and sin brings death. There you go. So we're looking for freedom from death, from sin. And so we're trying to step into righteousness and life. And then this is the only way that it can happen. Jesus' sacrifice was for everybody. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he came, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever, anybody, absolutely everybody that believes in him will have eternal life. It's for everyone, but it must come by, what's the key word? Everyone that believes. It's this faith aspect. So faith is another thing that we often pretend like we know what we're talking about, and we don't actually know what we're talking about. And so faith is this idea. It's this idea of trust. It's the idea of belief. And when you believe in something, you live differently. So that's why that's this faith. It's also an action. And this is where Ephesians 2:8 comes in, saying, by grace you have been saved through faith. Through faith. What happens is faith is the currency of heaven. Faith is the thing that makes things move in heaven. Jesus says, if you want to make a mountain move, you just need you need the faith the size of a mustard seed to make that happen. And there are mountains that we all have in our life, and we need the faith to see those things overcome. And faith moves things. Faith moves things from death to life. Faith helps us receive freedom and salvation from sickness. Sozo doesn't just mean death to life. It means healing. It means freedom. It means in all these areas, declare the salvation of God over the areas of your life that you need that. And so I want to say real quick, for those of you who have never gone, man, I need this. I've never done this. I never knew that my sin separated me from God, and in heaven is inaccessible. You cannot go in the presence of God. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. If this is something that's for you, I want you to find. Can I get our leaders to raise our hands? All the leaders in the room, real quick, raise your hands. And leaders, look around. If you need. If you go, man, I got more questions about this. I want to know more about this. Find, leaders, keep your hands up real quick. I want you to make eye contact with a leader right now. I want you to find one of the leaders and just make eye contact and find them. And what we're going to do is after service, you guys can chat and have a little conversation. We got some gifts for you and everything. So, but this is picture. And what I want to do is I don't want for us just to know this. I want for us. In fact, I was just talking about this with some of our team. The worst way to learn something is by sitting in your seats and listening to someone talk. Isn't that awesome? So, want to know the best way to learn something? Who said it? No, someone said it rhymes with preach. Teach. Someone said that. There you go. Teaching is the best way to learn something. That's why oftentimes if you ever preach, if you ever teach something, you go, man, I swear I learned more than the people that I taught, because you did. So what we're going to do is we're going to have you guys do this. We're going to have you guys teach this, and you all are going to give a 30-second gospel, but we're going to give you a little hint and a little help as to how to do this. So what we got, if you can flip your cards over and go ahead. So what we got, bro. Anybody else willing to? I'm kidding. So what we got? God, our sins, paying everyone life. Do you see how that tells the same story? See how that tells the same story of what our problems are and what where Jesus comes in and what he brings to us. Okay, see how that makes sense? Also, look what it spells. It's an acronym. Gospel. Okay, so gospel means good news. This is the good news that you share with people. So when you go, all right, how am I supposed to lay out the good news of the gospel? Like, man, someone comes up, man, my life is miserable. My life is this. I just don't have this. I don't have any hope. I don't know what's going on. I'm sick. I need healing. I need this. Wait, The gospel. I remember that God paid for our sins, paying everyone, like giving everybody life. And you can lead them through this same aspect of I need God. God is perfect. Our sins are not. They separate us from God. They lead to death. And death, therefore, we need a payment to overcome that. Who is it available for? Everybody. Jesus provides that payment for everyone, which brings us to life. There you go. So what we're going to do is we're going to have every single person in here. Let's see. Pair up or get into groups of 3 to 4? All right, let's pair up. There you go. I heard one vote there, so that vote won. There you go. So pair up. We got a slide with gospel on it? God, our sins, paying everyone life. That way we can have, boom, look at that. Can we give a hand to these student leaders? Seriously, hold on. I got to promo them real quick. Student leaders kick butt. They have all these meetings. They have all these challenges that they go through. And they have a lot that they're doing. If you see them, if you guys got a question about what's going on, if you want to see some of the people that we're, the standard that we hold some of our leaders to, we also hold our student leaders to some of these same standards. Give them a high five. Tell them thank you for all they do because they're awesome. All right, guys, thank you so much. Take a seat. There you go. So God, our sins, paying everyone life. Find your partner. You got like, we'll say 2 to 3. We'll let you go 2 to 3 because then we don't have to have a really hard time of finding. So if you're in a group of 4, split up into 2 pairs, right? If you're in a group of 3, then just stay there. 6, you can do whatever you want. All right. All right. So find your pair. Find who you're pairing up with. Hold hands with them. There you go. Anybody know what the term interdigitation means? No holding hands like this. That just got really awkward. I just see a guy-girl pairing up right there, and they're like, oh, jeez. You don't actually have to do that. But, wow, I'm seeing you guys are enjoying that a little bit too much. That's cute. You guys are cute over there. All right. So, each one of us, we're going to get 30 seconds, about to lay this out. And I'll give you guys 60 seconds this first time. Okay. I'll give you guys 60 seconds each person. But I'm doing that so that the teams, the groups of 3 can get all 3 people in 2 minutes. Okay. So it'll be 45 seconds for those of you who are only in groups of 3. Ish. I didn't do the math right there. That's my bad. Hey, youth ministry degree, you don't need math. It's awesome. So, all right. So go ahead. If we can get a little bit of like cool music just to help us so that we all can talk loudly to each other. Okay. Awesome. Go ahead. God, our sins paying everyone life. There are those of you who are like trying to beat the shot clock and you're like, I'm sin and it's bad and stop. So, Who just did it the best? Who just like kicked butt at that? Come on, right? There you go. Benaiah, look at that. That's what's up. Who wants to give it a shot? Who wants to give it a shot up on someone? Who wants to volunteer themselves? And then I'm going to start picking random people. Angelina, come on. Yeah. Girl, you just said you did it the best and then you raised your hand. Yeah. I'm trying to remember. Michael, right? No, Marcus. It is Michael. Yes, no. I wasn't calling you. You aren't going to do it. I'm going to say, do you think she should do it? Yeah, okay. Okay, all right. There you go. Angelina, come on up. There you go. Give Angelina a hand. All right. You can throw it back up on the screen so that you can cheat if you want to.
Oh, perfect life. God equals perfect life. R is.
This is a little bit different than what I had with the sin separates one, but
redemption.
Come on, yes.
Everyone is Jesus died for everyone.
There you go. Yes.
Jesus, and life is. Oh no. Life is life.
There you go. Come on. That's awesome. Give her a huge hand. And all you people who were like, not me. And she just did that. Like, man, that's what's up. There you go. So what I want to do, remember, the best way to learn is to teach somebody, this. So that's my challenge to you. Somebody outside of this room, somebody who may may not even believe in God or may not know the gospel message or something like that. What I want you to do is I want you to walk up to them and I want you to say, hey, my pastor, my youth pastor at my church, he's really lame and he's really stupid and he's making me do this challenge. Can you help me out with this? I need help with this challenge. The challenge is that I have to teach somebody the gospel message. And so all I got to do, I got to explain to you, and you just tell me if you got it, okay? Do you kind of get what it means? And just let me know if you understand. And so that way, your goal is not to convert anybody. Listen to me. Your goal is not to convert anybody, okay? That's not the purpose of this. If someone hears this and they're like, holy smokes, Jesus is amazing, I need to give my life to him right now, like, amen. You just gave the good news. That's the natural reaction. But I want to challenge you guys to do this. And your purpose, the reason I say that's not your goal, salvation's not your goal, is because I want you to be able to go up to someone to teach this, to communicate this, and not have any expectations on them of like, oh man, you need to this, and if you don't this, and if I don't, you know, like, this is what you need to do. And then it can sound really condemning, and it can sound really like dumb, and like what the church oftentimes and what Christians oftentimes are seen as, that we don't want to be. But what I do want you to do is I want to challenge you to be like, all right, I need help. Cal, can you help me out with this? If you don't know it, perfect. You're the right person because I need to teach it to someone who doesn't know it. And then you recite, you tell me if it makes sense to you. Okay? So I want to see right now a show of hands who's going to take this challenge on over the next couple weeks, who's going to do this? I'm going to do it. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be hard, but and I want to see some. I want to see some answers. I want to see some testimonies when we come back. Is that all right? How about this is our goal. If you're like, man, I'm going to put it off. I just don't know. Maybe later. I'll say, let's have it be our goal to everybody who raised your hand by the New Year's Eve bash. Everybody who raised your hand, you get that conversation in by the New Year's Eve bash. And your goal is not to delay it. Your goal is to get it in this week. And if you go, okay, because what happens a lot of times, if you've ever set goals, if you've ever accepted a challenge, you realize it's harder to do the challenge than it is to accept the challenge, right? Way harder. So you'll go and you'll be like, all right, I'm going to do it. This is awesome. And then you'll come back after school or go to bed that night and you'll be like, thank you, Jesus. Oh, shoot, I never did that. And you'll totally, anybody, is that only me or do other people? Okay, good. And actually doing it and getting yourself to that place is a completely different mental state than it is to even accept a challenge. So that's why I'm giving you guys a couple weeks. Can we do this? Come on. That's what's up. I'm excited. Hey, we got a couple things. First of all, invite your friends. We got the shindig next week. Bring some ugly sweaters. Invite your friends. We're going to have a lot of fun. And especially if you're in the talent or anti-talent show, you should bring some people to watch you. Also, New Year's Eve bash. We got all these cards, all the information. Not back there. They're in the folders right in front of you. In the chair hanger mabobbers, which is the official name. We need to come up with a name for those. That's what it was. Chags. Thank you. My bad. The chags, the chair bags. There you go. They're in the chags right there. Y'all, love ya. Hey, real quick. If you are going like, hey, I've never heard this message, I want to get more information, please come find myself. Leaders, raise your hand one more time. Raise your hand. Find one of the leaders. We want to have a conversation. We got some gifts for you if you do want to have that conversation. Y'all rock. Thanks so much. Thanks for repping your schools. You have a killer week.